Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, the 15th of April, Tax Day 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. We open the show with my look at a couple of committee votes in Hartford earlier in the week on proposals to give businesses the ability to pool their employee numbers for possible better health care insurance rates. Republican gubernatorial candidate and Greenwich State Senator Ryan Fazio joined us shortly thereafter to chat about those committee votes. Hearst Connecticut Media senior columnist and editor Dan Haar dropped by to talk about the governor's race, while Sacred Heart University Sports Communication and Media Graduate Program Director Dr. Andrew Miller talked about a new SHU poll regarding the public's trust in sports.
You know, I have a phrase that I've kind of adapted over the years. It kind of popped into my head one day, and I said, well, this sounds good. I'll keep using this. Because I think it makes sense, and I've used it several times here on the show, the years I've been here and previously before I got here, and it goes something like this, and I always like to say something like many of those or most of those or those, meaning people and forces in our lives and in our politics, those who... fear change the most, or those who are against any sort of real change, or at least trying things, their fear is that it might work. And their universe, their method of doing something is more important to them. It is more important to them to maintain the status quo, even when they say the status quo should not be maintained because it's not doing the right thing, all right. But even though they know the status quo is not getting it done, they will fight tooth and nail if they have things to gain from maintaining the status quo. And number one thing to gain or to maintain is that you don't want to prove the other side may have had a better idea. So you will sit there oftentimes with your thumb or both thumbs parked up your rear end and not do anything, because to do something that might have even the slightest chance of working will then in your world prove to you that from your almighty perch, you know what? You may have not had the best idea. Now, why am I saying this? Somebody gave me the high sign on this yesterday, and I think Melissa's going to do a segment on this tomorrow. But it is something that I have talked about for years, not just here, but at other stations that have been kind enough to hire me over the past 40-something years around the state here. And it has to do with allowing businesses, trade groups, businesses to get together and shop their aggregate numbers of members to insurance companies and say, hey, if we can guarantee you this many people for this amount of years at this rate, what can you give us? Or can you give us rates? In other words, we would like to take the initiative and do something that maybe the state or state officials or the Democratic majority in Hartford, you know, the people that cry and moan about affordability, they're either too lazy to do it or have no intention of doing it. They talk a good game, affordability, blah, 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 and they do squat. So somebody sent me this and they said, hey, look at this. And I shook my head, but like, I'm not surprised. Allow me a few paragraphs here because this will explain it, but this will get to my point here. My point I'm starting off with today is we are governed by, now I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but it's really hard. Shall we say we are governed by some people in leadership in Hartford who aren't serious people? To me, well, why would you say that, Paul? And I know there's some people maybe on the progressive side of the aisle that are mad at me now or saying, well, there he goes again. Well, no, there I go again, because if you have a problem like the cost of health care, And there is this idea that other states are doing it. Maybe they're not doing it perfectly. Maybe you want to add some more safety measures here. But you have these petri dishes of this, if you will, going on all over the country, and some states are doing it. But if you're going to sit there and cry and moan about how expensive stuff is, and then be presented with a theory of saying, hey, if we do this, this might work. And then you choose not even to entertain it because you're protecting certain people and certain programs that are already out there. Then to me, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, at 12 past 2 on a Wednesday here, to me, you are not a serious person. You are not seriously, at least in this case, discharging the duties of what you said you were going to do. Case in point here, David Krajewski's story in the Hartford Business Journal. The CBIA, the Connecticut Business and Industry Association, leading the call as they slam the General Assembly's Appropriations Committee for rejecting a small business health care bill. Now, I thought, maybe I have more wax in my ears than I got out the other day with the ear cleaner thing there, the stuff that foams in your ears. Did that. That's pretty cool. But I thought the Democratic leadership in Hartford is blaming costs on Republicans, blaming high costs of this and that and everything else in the universe on Trump. And I thought they said, well, you know, we're going to tackle affordability. Okay. So here is an idea or a variation of an idea that's been around for years. And nobody is saying you have to enact it, but at least study it. At least take a look at it. But see, that's their biggest fear. Their biggest fear is you may end up having irrefutable evidence or data, because remember, numbers don't lie. What do I say? The math always wins. You may have data that might show, hey, this is a better way. And then if you institute the better way, guess what? Your friends, your lobbyist friends that walk around the state capitol in Hartford, they're suddenly not happy with you. The lobbyists for maybe some of the insurance companies, maybe some of the hospitals, I don't know. I've been to the Capitol two or three times in the past 10 or 15 years, and the number of people with lobbyist badges walking around the halls of that freaking building are it's frightening. What's that L on it? Oh, these are all lobbyists? Oh, my good God in heaven. So what is this idea that the Democratic leadership, because they control everything. You may say, well, what do the Republicans think? Well, we can't hear what the Republicans think on this because it never gets to a serious point of debate. It gets cut off at the knees. The Democrats pull a Nancy Kerrigan on this, if you know what I mean. Oh, look at that. Hit somebody in the knees with a pipe. Yeah. So we'll get further into this at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. All right, you and I together right here at 203-333-9422-333-WICC, 203-333-9422-333-WICC. So again, help me out here. Are we governed by serious people? Because I asked this question today, and you can check it out. It's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/voiceofct. Should Connecticut businesses, in other words, the men and women that make us grow, pay our taxes, whatever, many small and medium-sized businesses, should Connecticut businesses be allowed to pool their employee numbers and shop for better health care coverage or initial health care coverage, whatever? Now, we're not talking about individual companies. I mean, an individual company can talk to an agent here. Obviously, if you're buying, you know, insurance from Anthem, Blue Cross, Blue Shield or something like that. But a different level of that. saying, hey, some business associations, whatever, can pull their numbers together and say, can you offer us this coverage, you know, with this for this many people? You can't do that by state law now. And you would think that we would at least want to take a look at that. So we had a chance to do that, I guess, again this week. And you know what happened? The General Assembly's Appropriations Committee failed on Monday. So while you and I were sitting here talking about whatever we talked about on Monday, listen to this. The Appropriations Committee, the General Assembly, failed Monday to approve a bill that aims to help small businesses with their health care costs. Now, this comes from the same leadership that's going to sit there and yammer about affordability. But again, we're not talking about voting on a final bill. We're just talking about taking a closer look, having an official state agency maybe run the freaking numbers. But see, people don't want that in Hartford. The powers that be, especially with the majority in Hartford, they don't want that. Because it proves that they don't have all the ideas. And that's what they, above and beyond everything else, there are some people in Hartford that just want to be proven right about everything. They have no humility. When was the last time you saw anybody or heard anybody in the majority in Hartford say, you know what, we were wrong on this. We were wrong. They're still arguing about the freaking bottle bill, 10 cents versus 5 cents, when people back then were saying, hey, don't pass this bill the way it is. It's going to cause a problem. No, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Because we know. You peons, shut up. There's cake over there. You can go eat it with frosting. Now I'll get to a story coming up later on. A very influential member of the General Assembly. You ready for this? One of the loudest voices about passing sports gambling in Connecticut. Now guess what she's saying? Oh, that might not have been such a really good idea. Thanks, Einstein. Appreciate that. The General Assembly's Appropriations Committee, during its meeting on Monday, voted on a motion to consider House Bill 537A, which would allow, now listen to this awful idea, oh, you can't have this, you can't even take a look at this. It would allow, God almighty, why would we want to do this? It would allow small businesses to pool their workforces through a structure known as a multiple employer welfare arrangement. The proposal intended to give small employers, I mean, this is just horrible. Listen to this. This is worse than Trump. Of course, nothing is worse than Trump, but this is close. The proposal intended to give small employers more leverage in the health insurance market by allowing them to pool workers across companies to offer health benefits, similar to another idea called association health plans, while placing the arrangements, and this is important, folks, while placing the arrangements under state regulation to ensure financial stability and consumer protections. So here you have a lot of business agencies like CBIA and other businesses saying, all right, let's put our numbers together and the state can even be the overlord here. Now, this wasn't a final bill. All this bill sought to do was to establish a regulatory framework. Establish a framework. You're building a house. Put up the frame. The bill sought to establish a regulatory framework allowing groups of employers, often through trade associations or chambers of commerce, to jointly offer health benefits to their workers. The bill was raised and approved by the Insurance and Real Estate Committee. The final vote in that committee was 9-4. Before they said, okay, we passed it, now let's go to appropriations. Now, appropriations issued a, you know how many bills they considered on Monday? 55 bills. Ultimately, members voted against approving that bill. According to CBIA, the final vote tally was not available. And here's the thing that just tells me somebody got to these people. Even Governor Lamont, who's got a background in business, he generally likes this idea. But the Appropriations Committee, for some reason, even though it passed a previous committee, even though this idea to make health insurance more, what's the word? Come on. Affordable, yes. Affordability. For some reason, we don't even want to take a look at the framework to maybe, if we can find it workable, maybe make something more affordable. Like, geez, I don't know, employer health care. Folks, and there's more to the story here. There's more. But you have got some people in Hartford that are so full of crap. This just illustrates. Oh, there's more here, though. Hang out with me. First, traffic and weather together right here, WICC. All right, joining us right now, I wanted to get his comments on this lack of any action regarding at least trying something different here. As a gentleman you hear on the radio station a lot, you'll hear him a lot more as the gubernatorial campaign cranks up. It is Greenwich GOP State Senator Ryan Fazio. And again, Ryan is a declared candidate for the governorship. Hey, Ryan, it's Paul here. Good afternoon. How are you, man?
I'm great, Paul. How are you?
Not too bad. But, man, Ryan, if you could have seen me or watched me on our video feed or listened to me, I was losing it before. Again, here we go, Ryan, the same crap. My words, not yours. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But, again, we see this scenario here where we have one committee that says, okay, let's take a look at maybe some of these different ways that small businesses, right, can get better health care coverage. Even if it doesn't work, let's take a look at it. And then all of a sudden, appropriation says, no, thank you. What? Explain to folks, what is your best guess? Who is whispering in whose ear, Ryan, maybe not romantically, to make sure this thing doesn't advance?
No, there's nothing romantic about jacking up healthcare costs for small businesses and employees. And your terminology is exactly correct. This is crap. The state government imposes all these regulations on small businesses and consumers and workers that jack up the cost of doing business, that jack up the cost of healthcare. And when legislators, all Republicans and even a couple moderate Democratic legislators, propose to do something about it, like give people more choice in the health insurance market, the more progressive legislators and the governor who dominate the building say, no, you can't have choice, you can't have competition, even though this is a proven way to drive down costs. There is a study I read that said that it could drive down health insurance costs by 10% or more. Mm-hmm. And when that's 1/6 of your economy or something like that, that's an enormous benefit economically to small businesses and to workers and to patients. And this is an issue that Republicans need to own and talk about more. And we will on this campaign, because I hear it from small businesses and workers and individuals all across our state that healthcare costs, you know, after maybe energy bills and taxes, is one of the biggest burdens in our economy on residents. And we got to do something about it.
Yeah. And according to Chris DiPentima's comments, our friend from CBIA that will report in the Hartford Business Journal, he said, listen, there would be at least under this latest version, there would be almost complete state oversight. There would be guarantees about solvency. And no, it wouldn't have a deleterious effect on the Affordable Care Act. But again, Ryan, my words, not yours. If they're worried about Obamacare being affected or the ACA, well, maybe Obamacare or the ACA is the problem and not giving people choices. I mean, are we protecting a problem here? I don't get it.
That's exactly right. They're protecting a system that's failing people, where people cannot afford to buy Obamacare on the market unless they have a giant subsidy or they're going to go on Medicaid themselves. Mm-hmm. So this is hollowing out the market for small businesses and for individuals who might be 1099 workers or retirees or or right before retirement or anything like that. We need to have choice and competition. It works everywhere else in our economy. It drives down costs. It makes products better. This is simply a modest reform that gives people choice outside of many of the regulations which were imposed and drive up costs, and small businesses are begging for it. The big corporations can deal with a lot of these costs. The small businesses don't, but the small businesses are what make our towns and cities in Connecticut special, and it's about time we did something to support them and all their employees.
Yeah, and finally, Ryan, it must drive you. See, this is why I could never do what you guys and gals do up there on both sides of the aisle in both chambers. Nothing drives me crazier. I'm being deadly serious now. With this old-fashioned thinking where, well, we can't try. Well, I have an idea. You try something, you make sure a safety net is there, and if it fails, you end it. You sunset it after a year or two. Why does not, Ryan, why does that hardly ever happen? What's the problem?
Well, people pass laws and they take credit for passing laws and they don't track whether they're working or not. Things aren't working in the state of Connecticut. Healthcare bills are rising by 10% a year. The energy bills are the second highest in the country. The taxes are the third highest in the country. It's time for a change, and that's why I'm running for governor, because I think we actually can make healthcare more affordable. We can make energy bills more affordable. We can cut the tax burden in historic fashion. We just need the right leadership at the top to do it. People are sick and tired of the status quo in Connecticut, and it's time for a change.
All right, Ryan, thanks. Ryan Fazio, declared candidate for governor and Republican State Senate member. Ryan, thanks, man. We know you had a busy day. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
I appreciate it. All right, there you go. Joining us right around this time, midweek, every Wednesday, is Dan Haar, senior editor, columnist, Hearst Connecticut Media. Mr. Haar, good afternoon, sir, on this Wednesday. How are you?
Good afternoon. I don't mind giving up 60 seconds of my time for an Aaron Stewart ad. That was fun.
You like that? Before we get to this, I'm glad we played it there, because before we get, Aaron Stewart is involved in one of your stories there. What did you think of that ad, Dan, from a tactical point of view, the message? What'd you think hearing that?
The one she just aired that we just heard about energy?
Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's an appealing ad to the voters, but it misunderstands that we have a regional grid. And so Connecticut doesn't have energy that we generate here that belongs to us. Millstone Energy is not ours. Sadly, we pay for it more than the other states because they called our bluff, and that's a big issue. But it wouldn't be an easy policy option to say we are, quote, keeping the cheap Millstone Energy. That's not how the market works.
All right.
And also, of course, as you know, she took a shot at gas, at electric blowers, and I'm the big anti-gas blower guy in the state, especially after this morning when I could hardly work. I had a pounding headache from my next-door neighbor blowing two leaves for 20 minutes with a gas blower.
Oh, boy. Are you on speaking terms with that neighbor or not? Can I ask that?
We're very friendly, except when I videotape the lawn service, and they give me dirty looks, so...
All right. Now, one of your stories you wanted to talk about is of the aforementioned Aaron Stewart, the former multi-term mayor of New Britain, now running for governor. And what is that about? I mean, I saw it, but explain to people.
Yeah, today there was a report. You may recall in February, I believe the 17th, the tax collector, who was an ally of the former mayor, was put on administrative leave pending an investigation into financial accusations. And those financial accusations came out today in a report from the Crumbie Law Firm, which did it in commission by the new Democratic mayor, Bobby Sanchez, formerly of the legislature. Yeah. And the report said that this tax collector was systematically waiving backdating checks on late tax payments so as to waive interest payments, which, as you know, are state mandated, 18%. For favored taxpayers. And she, in the report, the tax collector, who's been fired today, says that she got instructions from the mayor's office. None of this is directly connected to former Mayor Aaron Stewart. None of it. She is not named in the report. She's not implicated. Nothing says she did anything wrong. That's what we know so far, what I just said.
But you just mentioned there that somebody in this, she is saying that, well, this was handed down from the mayor's office? How exactly did she say that? How does she position that?
Look, I go into great detail in my story on that. And what happens is that there is one or more favored taxpayers who are late with their payments. These are people that own multiple properties,
okay,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. And they're late with their payments, and they go to the mayor's office, where the chief of staff — this is from the report, this isn't Dan Hoare's reporting.
Okay.
This is from the report, the investigation by Crombie Law Firm, where the chief of staff takes the checks, or maybe already had the checks,
mm-hmm,
and brings them to the taxpayer,
mm-hmm,
and says, here are the checks
Got
from
it.
Taxpayer X. Yeah. Right. And so the mayor's office is now involved in the loop at the very least. But the mayor's office is saying, no, we did not instruct the taxpayer to backdate those, mm-hmm, checks. That didn't happen. So that's where we are.
All right. Little rumblings here about Josh Elliott. Is he going to stay in? Is he not going to stay in? What will he do through the convention? Is he going to make the level of donations he needs to get $3 million? So what is the latest now between the governor and a maybe, possibly, likely challenger in Josh Elliott, Dan, maybe at the convention or a primary or what? What's the status of the race?
Josh elevated the stakes this week in comments. Well, last week he sent a letter to Democrats, not delegates necessarily, but to Democrats, right? Democratic voters.
Yeah.
Because he's, of course, still trying to raise money. And he was critical of Ned Lamont, Governor Lamont's staff, not the governor, but the governor's staff, in the way they are dealing with delegates and town,
yes,
committees. And he implied that the governor's staff, not the governor,
mm-hmm,
is squeezing the delegates and saying, your town is losing funding. Gee. And so I went to Josh Elliott and I said, you didn't mean to imply or state, did you, that the governor — I assumed he was going to say, no, I didn't mean that — the governor is improperly attempting to influence the delegates.
Yeah.
And he said, absolutely, that's what the governor's staff is doing.
Wow.
And he didn't name the staff and he didn't name the town chairs. But what he said is one or more members of the governor's staff is going to town chairs and saying, awfully nice little town you got there. It would be a shame if it lost funding because you didn't deliver the votes at the convention for the governor. Now, why the governor would do this — this is unlike most people that I've talked with think that this is un-Ned Lamont-like.
Yeah.
Right? We haven't known him to do stuff like this. So the possibilities are that maybe Josh Elliott misunderstood what a town chair told him.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Josh Elliott made it up from whole cloth, which I doubt because that's not what he does.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a conversation, but it wasn't quite,
mm-hmm,
as far. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
It's politics. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
But
and
that's what's out there. And what my point in the column is that's bound to eliminate any remaining warmth between the campaigns.
Yeah.
And there is some.
Yeah. Oh, I don't doubt it. Before we get to Linda McMahon, yeah, I saw in a couple of people on my own Facebook sphere put that letter up, and they said, well, this can't, and I didn't, I purposely didn't mention it. Then I saw you wrote about it. So, yeah, listen, now it's hardball, I guess. Last subject here, interesting. Linda McMahon shunned by an elementary school in Fairfield and a high school, I forgot where, up north. Thomaston, was it, or something?
We're not sure about Thomaston. It was never clear,
okay,
that she was coming. It was the program, but on occasion she herself doesn't accompany the program. So we were never certain that it was her, but yes, the point is made.
Okay, and I guess now she's going to be at Yale, and I read comments made by Amore McInnes, the president of Yale, and she said, hey, no problem from my point of view. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, certainly I'm in the camp that says she has not just every right to speak at Yale, but she should be speaking at Yale because, you know, look, this is not Kristi Noem here, who's a sort of an off-the-wall, you know, out-of-control zealot. This is a mainstream Republican who backed the president, and they're trying to enact a more or less ideologically based change And there's nothing criminal, illegal, or morally wrong about it. I think policy-wise, it's dumb. Mm-hmm. But having her come to speak at Yale is a fine thing. That's what Yale is there for. I did speak with Miguel Cardona,
yeah.
And you know, he agreed. Great, have her come to Yale. But of course, he was quick to criticize what she's doing.
All right, fair enough. All right, Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. So you want now, before I let you go, is there anything super secret you want to clue us in on, maybe for tomorrow, the next few days? What's coming up?
No, I think we're just hunkering down. I'm doing a very interesting story about some land that's going to be put into the public trust, public access that's in one of the towns very, very near and dear to where you are now. And that's a very interesting story. It's not controversial, okay. Sexy, or political. But it's just, it's going to be a really good thing for the public. There's going to be a very large thing that the public is going to get that the public does not now have.
Okay.
And it's going to make a city that very badly needs it a little bit better.
Excellent. And take it easy on your neighbor and the landscapers, all right? Will you do that for us here before I have you back next week?
And videotape the gas blowing all I want.
Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, be good, buddy. Appreciate the time.
Take care.
All right, there you go. Wow. Dan Haar, get a little feisty in Weehaw. Get a little feisty in West Hartford there. Man, oh man, yikes. So on the same day, we are reading where at least one major proponent of sports gambling legalization in the state back 5 years ago is now saying, hey, maybe we went into this a little too quickly. We have this, a big new national survey from our friends down the road at Sacred Heart University, regarding people's perceptions on leagues and whether this whole thing is believable, and are there people watching games going, oh, okay, especially now, you know, with gambling for the NFL draft picks, the NBA playoffs coming up, NHL playoffs coming up, Major League Baseball up and underway. Dr. Andrew Miller joins us. He's the Sports Communication and Media Grad Program Director at Sacred Heart. Andrew, hi, it's Paul. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So nationwide survey, what do people believe? What don't they believe? Are they kind of looking out of the corner of their eye at some of these leagues and going, okay, yeah. What did you folks find out?
So, yeah, a couple of some interesting things. So this is actually our second annual poll.
Yeah.
And so the first, you know, I think big thing that we found is compared to last year, so over 66% of Americans are now concerned about potential corruption in sports.
Wow.
Due to gambling.
Wow.
And that number, but also from year to year, that's up 8%. So that's fairly sizable, you know, that 2/3 of the people surveyed are definitely concerned about it. Now, it's not that surprising. I mean, this has been a year of major scandals.
Mm-hmm.
At the highest level. I mean, NBA scandals, MLB, also some college basketball scandals. So, you know, I'm not sure whatever, you know, if everyone's aware of that, but it did certainly percolate. And these are particularly the NBA ones were all over the news, I think, everywhere you looked. And so that, you know, that's sort of our overall takeaway. We did. So that, and we've tracked it over a couple of years.
Yeah.
We just, for the first time this year, and you were sort of alluding to this, we asked that question, sort of what are the most trusted leagues and the least trusted leagues?
Yeah.
And so interestingly, I mean, so the NFL, far and away the most trusted professional sports league, with like over 31% saying they trusted that. And that is three times as high as the next most, you know, trusted league. You know, the interesting thing, though, I mean, so that and then the least trusted is actually the NBA.
Yeah.
Now, that was a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that's we think, you know, we're still figuring this out. We want to detract this year to year. And we think there's a few things going on. One, yes, like I said, there are major scandals in the NBA.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is something like the NHL, which is never like, you know, is. Only not very many people think of that as a trusted league.
Yeah.
So we think some of this is also just a little bit of a popularity contest.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't think, you know, people, what comes to mind? Football, basketball, baseball. Those are your big three.
Yeah.
That's what people think about because, you know, NHL, I mean, just on its face, it'd just be, it's a much harder sport
sure.
to fix.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, Andrew. I look at this stuff and you know, and plus hockey players have kind of like a code. It's if they think anybody's doing something shifty, they'll put them through the glass. No, seriously, that's where, you know, you talk about the NBA and maybe not getting to the players, Andrew, or getting to the refs. Listen, I've been fortunate enough two or three times to sit courtside at NBA games doing some sports writing and or without with a friend. And I got to tell you, Andrew, from 20 feet away where I was courtside, like, okay, that's a foul now, but that wasn't a foul in the first quarter. And I tell people, if you ever sit that close, maybe unintentionally they want to let the guys or the gals play, yeah, I can see why people are kind of look down their noses a little bit at if they're putting money down on the NBA. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's some of that. I think, though, what we're finding, and this is what we're seeing with the scandals, too, it's frankly, it's not so much the overall, you know, who wins, who loses betting mm-hmm. that's being that people are, you know, that's being affected as much. It's the prop bet.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh.
You know, so basketball. So that's why also these sports, I think it's easier for a basketball player to, if someone bets the over under on the number of rebounds they're going to get,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we, you know, can you sort of get to a certain point and then you can, you know, you can get injured or you can just not try as hard.
Oops.
You can do those sorts of things and it's a little bit more individually controlled. And, you know, and that's what happened in baseball. The scandal is that the Guardians pitcher,
oh, yeah.
people were betting
yes.
on whether his first pitch was going to be a ball or a strike.
And he basically threw the thing into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny. I think I shouldn't say funny. It's awful.
Yeah.
Because for the integrity of the game. But there were times, in fact, when he tried to throw a ball and people swung at it anyway.
Yeah.
So, the fix was in, but he couldn't get it. Which is always the issue. But that's why I think the things that you can control more are the things that people are now doing. And I think we have professional leagues. I mean, there is still a surprise.
Yeah.
I think to a lot of us fans, because the professionals at the top leagues make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, the wonder is, well, why do you need, you know, more than this? I think our concern as educators, as well as, you know, researchers in this field, are particularly the area of college sports,
yeah.
because you can bet on anything. So you could be a volleyball player
yeah.
at a small school where you're not getting NIL money. You're not getting anything. And then, you know, there's different kinds of calculations that people can be making as different than the pro leagues where there is a lot of money involved.
Absolutely. Great stuff. Sacred Heart University Sports Communication and Media Grad Program Director, Dr. Andrew Miller. Hey, Andrew, good to have you back again. Appreciate it. We'll talk down the road. Take care.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. There you go.